So, you have a movie for me.
Yes, sir, I do.
So there's this guy named John Hammond, and him and his team developed a way to create clones using DNA.
Wow, so he could use that to save endangered species, or make human organs and save a ton of lives?
Yeah, I guess he could, but instead he's gonna make, you know, a bunch of dinosaurs.
What?
Yeah, just a whole bunch of big old toothy dinosaurs.
Interesting set of priorities, I guess. So why does he want to make dinosaurs?
Well, he wants to open an amusement park called Jurassic Park.
Oh, and what kind of dinosaurs are in Jurassic Park?
Mostly ones from the Cretaceous period.
So why don't they call it Cretaceous Park?
Because that sounds stupid and I hate it.
Fair enough.
So anyway, they managed to clone dinosaurs using blood found in mosquitoes preserved in amber.
That sounds very science-y, I love it.
Yeah, and they also brought back plants that have been extinct for millions of years.
How'd they do the plant stuff if the dinosaur stuff was based on blood?
Plant blood? I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So anyway, when they're setting up the park, one of the employees gets killed by dinosaurs.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So Hammond's gonna realize that he's playing God and human lives are at risk?
Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Oh,
no, he doesn't care about any of that, but he does need to fly in some specialists now to give the park the green light because investors are getting nervous.
This guy doesn't have much of a soul, does he?
Nope, and so he flies in a paleontologist named Alan Grant,
a paleobotanist,
a botanist named Ellie Sattler, and a chaotician named Ian Malcolm.
Well, I guess those would be the best people to make sure a dinosaur theme park's safe.
He also brings his little grandchildren Lex and Tim along for the ride.
He brings children to an untested dinosaur theme park where an employee was just killed?
He does.
Wow.
There's also a lawyer there.
Oh, lawyers are the worst.
Oh, well, you'll be happy to know that he gets viciously killed by a T-Rex while sitting on a toilet.
Maybe a little harsh.
Maybe.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, John Hammond's gonna show them the entertaining little intro to the tour where he interacts with a video of himself.
What kind of an idiot makes a video talking to himself and tries to pass that off as entertainment?
Well, it's just a fun little thing he wants to do before the tours start.
So he's planning on being physically present at the start of every tour at Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I guess he is.
Pretty big time commitment.
Oh yeah, plus he says he wants to be present for the birth of every single dinosaur so they can imprint on him.
So his schedule is just gonna be running from tours to dinosaur births to tours to dinosaur births.
Seems like that's the life he's setting up for himself, yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, there's also a guy named Nedry who works at the park, and he wants to sell dino DNA to competitors.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but as he's escaping, he slides off the road and comes across a dangerous dinosaur.
Uh-oh, again, but he must know exactly how dangerous it is, right?
You'd think so, because he's been working at the park for months and months, but he tries to make small talk with the dangerous dinosaur and play fetch with it.
What?
Yeah, so then he dies.
Right, I imagine he would.
Also, a bunch of the characters are gonna be on a tour, and the power's gonna go out, and a T-Rex is gonna break out of its cage.
Well, that's not good.
It's not, but Alan explains that the T-Rex's vision is based on movement, so if they don't move, it can't see them.
Is that a real thing, or did you make that up for the movie?
It's mostly made up. I think some lizards might have movement-based vision, though.
Lizards kinda look like dinosaurs, I'm sold.
Great.
So what else happens?
Well, the kids don't know about the movement-based vision thing, so they have a little dance party with a flashlight.
Seems like something you'd want to avoid even if you didn't know that.
Yeah, seems that way. So anyway, the T-Rex is gonna break in the sunroof of their car,
and they're gonna have to hold it up while the dinosaur presses down on them.
Wouldn't the full force of a T-Rex kinda snap their arms or crush them or something?
They're strong kids, I guess.
Sounds that way.
So then Alan and the kids have to rappel down the side of the T-Rex enclosure, which is at least like a 50-foot drop.
Wait, how did the T-Rex get out of the enclosure if there was a 50-foot drop?
I don't know. Maybe T-Rexes were fantastic vertical jumpers.
Doesn't seem like they would be.
Oh well.
Oh well.
And then they're gonna be climbing down a tree and a car's gonna start to fall towards them.
Oh, so they move out of the way and it falls past them?
No, they try to climb down the tree faster than the car is falling.
What?
Yeah, I wanted another action scene here, so I had them do that instead of, you know, moving slightly to the side.
Oh, easily avoidable action scenes are tight.
Oh yeah.
So what else happens?
Well, then some other characters are gonna be in a Jeep and barely escape the T-Rex.
Oh wow, so T-Rexes were fast?
In the movie, we're gonna say that they can run up to 32 miles an hour.
Seems like they should be able to easily outrun it in a Jeep.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
Then Alan and the kids are gonna climb a huge fence, even though the kids could pretty easily fit through it.
Interesting choice.
And later there's gonna be velociraptors trying to get into a room that the characters are in.
Oh, are those bad?
Real bad. So Alan and Ellie are gonna be trying to keep the door shut while desperately reaching for a shotgun. And Lex is on the computer trying to activate the locks.
What's Tim doing?
Oh, he's tapping on his sister's chair and telling her to go faster.
Why doesn't he go hand the shotgun to Alan and Ellie?
Because he's busy tapping on his sister's chair and telling her to go faster.
I guess that is important.
And then they're gonna be surrounded by a bunch of raptors.
Oh, well that's it, right? Impossible to get out of that situation.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the T-Rex is gonna show up out of nowhere and fight the raptors.
How did the T-Rex show up unnoticed?
Well, it's gonna be like a ninja in this scene.
Not in earlier scenes?
No, in earlier scenes, its footsteps caused mini earthquakes.
Oh, well, that's cool. I guess the T-Rex has kind of a character arc.
Yeah, he learned how to be a big old sneaky lizard.
A big old sneaky lizard.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think?
Well, it seems like a great movie, but sounds like we can only logically make one of these.
Yeah, after how bad the whole Jurassic Park concept goes in this movie, there's not much potential for sequels.
So, you have a Jurassic Park sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Very, very exciting. So what happens in this thing?
Well, you know how in the first movie the dinosaurs kept trying to eat the children, but they never got to?
Yeah.
Well, I figure it might be nice if at the beginning of this movie they, you know, get to get one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, they work so hard, I figure we throw them a bone of a child.
That's okay.
So anyway, later we see Ian Malcolm, right? And he gets called to John Hammond's mansion.
They're both from the first movie.
They sure are, sir. And Hammond is like, guess what, Ian? It turns out there was another island this whole time. Whoa,
you'd think he would have mentioned that to him in the first movie.
You'd think so, but no, because they only use this island for breeding and raising the dinosaurs, and then they bring them over to the other island.
So that laboratory from the first movie with the eggs and stuff, that was
hopefully forgotten by everyone in the audience.
Gotcha.
So anyway, Hammond is like, my nephew took InGen from me, and he wants to go to this island and grab some dinosaurs from there.
Uh-oh.
So he's like, I need you to go to the island with a team and take pictures of the dinosaurs, so there's public interest in keeping them there.
So who's on the team?
Well, he already has a tech equipment guy and a photographer and a paleontologist.
So why does he need an expert in chaos theory there?
Well, because he was in the first movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's going to be hard to convince him to go after what he went through in the first movie.
Actually, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, it turns out that Hammond already sent Ian's girlfriend there. She's there right now. She's the paleontologist, Sarah.
She went by herself to a dinosaur island despite knowing what Ian went through and the trauma that probably caused him.
Yeah, because see, the thing about Sarah is that she's, you know, the worst.
Oh, she is. Okay.
Yeah.
So Ian goes to the island.
He sure does, sir. So they get to the island and Sarah decides to pet a baby stegosaurus and piss off its parents.
Oh, she is the worst.
She sure is, sir. And then it turns out that Ian's daughter is there too. She snuck onto a trailer that was loaded up with all the equipment.
Oh, and why'd you put her in the movie? Like, what role is she gonna play story-wise?
Well, see, I want Ian Malcolm to have someone to care about on the island. You know, somebody to rescue, kind of his motivation.
Wasn't he going there to save his girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
Well, whoops.
Whoopsie. Well, so his daughter's gonna be there too. She's gonna be in the movie and present.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, so Sarah tells everyone that, you know, they can't mess around. If they so much as bend a blade of grass, the whole research is ruined.
She literally just pet a dinosaur.
The worst.
Right, the worst.
And then some bad guys from InGen show up and they just capture a whole bunch of dinosaurs.
Oh no.
Yeah, and this one hunter guy, all he wants to do is kill a big T-Rex, so he takes a baby T-Rex to draw the parents out.
So what do the good guys do?
Well, they let the dinosaurs out of their cages, and the photographer guy, Nick, he takes the baby T-Rex because he cares about nature and stuff.
He what?
Yeah, and then he and Sarah try to fix this baby T-Rex's leg inside their trailer because they're like, well, he's gonna die in the wild if we let him go.
Oh, very obviously a bad idea, no matter what your values are.
Yeah, it turns out it was a bad idea. Yeah, because the parents show up and they bump the trailer off the side of a cliff.
Probably shouldn't have set up their trailers near a cliff with massive dinosaurs walking around.
Probably not. So then the tech guy gets eaten and the InGen people show up to help.
Oh, so they're all together now?
They sure are, sir, and they need to make it to a communication building in another part of the island.
And how does that go?
Oh, not well. See, characters start doing insanely stupid things that leads to them getting eaten by dinosaurs.
How dumb are we talking here?
One guy sees a snake in his shirt, so he runs directly into the mouth of a T-Rex.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie. And also Sarah walks around with a t-shirt covered in the baby T-Rex's blood, even though she knows that T-Rexes have the best sense of smell there is.
Well.
Another guy has to pee, so he wanders off into the forest alone and gets lost.
He walks alone into the forest he knows is filled with deadly dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Oh, risking your life so nobody sees your ding-dong is tight.
It sure is, sir. And then at a certain point, we're just gonna get rid of all the extras by having them walk through some tall grass that has raptors in it.
Oh my God, well how did the main characters get through?
Well, when they walk through, there aren't any raptors.
Why?
Unclear.
That works.
But later on, they are gonna run into some raptors, and Ian's daughter is gonna kick one out of a window using gymnastics.
What?
Yep, she knows gymnastics, so she kicks a raptor out of a window, and it gets impaled, and then everyone's happy.
They put everybody's lives in danger ranger to save a T-Rex, but now they're happy about a dead raptor?
That's right.
Very inconsistent values.
And so then a helicopter shows up and they leave the island.
Wow, well, you know what? That's definitely a fun movie, and I think...
And then later in San Diego...
Wait, what?
Well, they're all in San Diego later and a cargo ship crashes.
Really, really felt like the movie was over.
Well, it's not. We're gonna tack this thing on.
Well, okay then.
So they go on this boat and they see that the whole crew has been eaten by a T-Rex.
What? Where's the T-Rex?
Well, it's locked down in the cargo hold and they accidentally set it loose when they get on the boat.
So it killed everybody on the boat and then got back in the cargo hold and closed the door?
That's what we're going with. And so then this T-Rex rampages around San Diego for about 10 minutes and then gets back in the cargo hold and, you know, that's it.
Oh, well, okay. I gotta say, I feel like this whole San Diego thing is kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
So is it done now? Do you have any other short films you want to tack on to the end of this thing?
No, that's it. It's all done. So what do you think?
Well, I think it's a ton of fun. I'm just kind of wondering, like, what's Ian's story, you know? Like, what's his arc?
Oh, well, at the beginning of the movie, he kind of tells people, I told you so. But at the end of the movie, he tells a lot of people, I told you so.
Oh, that is growth.
Yeah, and pretty much the whole time, every single one of his lines is going to be designed to sound good in a movie trailer.
Oh, okay. Is something funny? I was just thinking it'd be funny if in a future movie, we just have him do like one scene, you know, just so we could put it in the trailer.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. So, you have a Jurassic Park movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
So my assistant told me you want to call it Jurassic Park III. Is that a Spanish thing or what?
No, that's three. That's Roman numerals.
Oh, okay, yeah, so it's an Italian thing.
No, it's just Jurassic Park III.
Okay, I'm already confused, but let's hear what it's about.
Right, so at the beginning of the movie, this kid Eric and this guy Ben, they're parasailing next to Isla Sorna, right?
That island has dinosaurs on it.
It sure does, sir, but as they're up in the air, they look down and they see that the boat crew's been eaten.
Oh, what a the boat crew.
Unclear. Off-screen ocean dinosaurs.
So certain dinosaurs have left the island? That has insane implications.
Yet definitely don't think about those too much, though. So they have to detach themselves, right, and fly off to the island.
That island has dinosaurs on it.
It does, yeah. And so then we're gonna catch up with Alan Grant. Remember him from the first movie?
I do remember. Yeah, he's from the first movie.
Yeah, and so he gets approached by this couple, right?
Oh, couple of dinosaurs?
No, humans. Amanda and Paul.
Oh.
And so they say that they want him to give them a flyby tour of the island, and because they offer him a bunch of money to fund his research, he accepts.
Yeah, just like his motivation in the first movie.
Pretty much exactly, yeah. So Alan and his associate Billy, they end up on this plane with this couple and a couple of mercenary-looking types.
Okay.
And so Alan decides to have a little nappy nap, but when he wakes up, there's a raptor looking at him, and it goes, Alan!
What? It looks at him and says, Alan, but it turns out it's a dream, so he's fine.
What the hell is going on? It's a dream raptor?
It's a dream raptor, because I think everybody could agree that the first two movies were pretty fun, but what was missing was, you know, dinosaurs speaking to people in dream sequences.
Yeah, I guess that could have made them a lot better.
Anyway, so then it turns out that this couple, they're not even together anymore. They're divorced, and they're the parents of Eric, and he's been on this island for 8 weeks.
Oh, very sneaky parents.
Yeah, and this guy doesn't even have any money to offer. He runs, like, a paint and tile store.
So Dr. Grant didn't look this guy up at all before accepting the job?
I guess not, no.
And how was he able to hire mercenaries and a pilot?
Oh, off-screen. Don't worry about it.
Right, so nobody verified that the check would clear or took a down payment for a massive transaction like that?
That's what we're going with, so the movie can happen.
Okay, gotcha.
So anyway, they get onto this island, and Amanda, she's just screaming her son's name into a megaphone.
What? That doesn't seem safe at all.
It's not, so obviously her screaming attracts a big old dinosaur, and they have to rush back onto the plane.
Oh yeah, I bet they do.
But as they're reaching the end of the runway, one of the mercenaries, Cooper, pops out, and he's like, please stop the plane.
Well, how'd he get to the end of the runway before the plane did?
Clear, but then a Spinosaurus jumps out and eats him, and the plane crashes into the jungle.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. So then the Spinosaurus eats another one of the guys.
So Amanda and Paul have immediately gotten two people killed just by being loud liars?
That's right, yeah.
So they're like the human antagonists in this thing, if I understand correctly.
No, sir, there are no human antagonists in this one. These are the people we're supposed to be rooting for.
Yikes, okay, they seem very unlikable.
And then the Spinosaurus is gonna easily kill a T-Rex so we can establish how powerful this new dinosaur is.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, if you thought they were going up against something in the first two movies with a T-Rex, you haven't met the Spinosaurus.
Oh boy, so what's up with the Spinosaurus? What's its deal?
Well, it's a big dinosaur. It's a lot like a T-Rex.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, they find Eric's camcorder, but the batteries are dead. But luckily, this guy Udesky, he has a maglite, so they just use the batteries from that.
Wouldn't a maglite use different batteries than a camcorder?
There are different kinds of batteries?
Yeah, a lot of different ones.
Oh, that's why my remote doesn't work anymore.
So what do they see on on the camcorder.
Well, they see that Eric survived the crash, right? But then they stumble upon Ben's corpse, so Amanda, she runs off into the jungle screaming, because that's her boyfriend.
Oh, she freaking loves screaming.
She sure does, sir. So then they find some raptor eggs, so everybody's like, oh, that's not good.
So what do?
Well, they go into this old lab building, and this raptor pretends to be dead in a tank of formaldehyde, and then he pops out and scares them.
The raptor understands that formaldehyde is used to preserve dead raptors in tanks, and so he pretends to be one. That's what we're going with. They're very smart creatures.
With a solid understanding of tissue preservation techniques, I guess. So what happens next?
Well, the group runs away, and they all get split up, and Udesky dies.
Oh, no, battery guy!
Yeah, and then Alan stumbles upon Eric, who, as it turns out, is still alive.
Wow, how did he survive?
Well, he found a bunch of supplies, and he has a thing of T-Rex urine.
What? How did he get T-Rex pee?
Oh, well, Alan asks them the same thing, and he's like, oh, you don't want to know.
Okay, but how does he get it, though?
You don't want to know.
But I do. I would like to know.
Oh, well, crap. Hopefully nobody else does, because I don't have an answer to that.
Well, okay, then. So what happens next?
Well, everybody reunites at this big fence barrier thing, because they all heard the ringtone from Paul's satellite phone.
Okay.
But it turns out that Paul doesn't even have his phone. The Spinosaurus swallowed it, and he's just standing there looking at them.
How does this dinosaur sneak up on them? Doesn't he shake the ground with every step like the T-Rex?
Every time, sir. Except this time, because I want the characters to be surprised.
Fair enough. So why is it still chasing them?
Well, I mean, it's a predator, sir. It wants to eat.
Right, but it just killed a massive T-Rex, right? That's food.
Yeah, well, he's not in the mood for T-Rex meat. I don't know what to tell you.
A very picky eater.
So they run away, but this thing, it smashes right through the barrier.
Oh, boy.
So they run inside a little building and lock the door, so, you know, they're safe now.
Can't the Spinosaurus break that, too?
Well, no, they lock the door.
Right, but the thing just smashed through a giant metal barrier.
Well, the door is locked.
I mean, the barrier was locked too, right?
Listen, sir, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about how locks work, okay?
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
So they all keep making their way to the coast, but they come across some pteranodons, these big flying murder birds.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so they struggle for quite a bit, and everybody manages to escape, except Billy.
Frickin' murder birds, that's terrible.
It is, sir. And so eventually they find the satellite phone in a big old pile of poop, and Alan uses it to call Ellie Sattler, remember? She's from the first movie.
She sure is, sir,
but the Spinosaurus comes back and he's still hungry.
So what do?
Well, they managed to start a fire with a flare gun, and the Spinosaurus, he's like, oh, okay, whoa, never mind, okay.
Oh, that's it, no more dinosaurs.
Yeah, he takes off, he's all done, but then some raptors show up.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, cause see, Billy stole some of their eggs earlier in the movie, so they would like to have those back, and also maybe do some murdering.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough to get away from raptors.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Billy made a 3D printed raptor resonating chamber, which, as it turns out, you could play like a little flute.
Very adorable.
Yeah, and so Alan blows into this thing, and the raptors are like, oh, we didn't realize you were also raptors. We'll head out now.
So they're not smart anymore?
They're not, no, because the movie's almost done.
Well, okay then.
So then the main characters get to the beach, and there's a guy in a suit standing there.
What?
And then the Navy and the Marines show up.
Why'd they start by sending a guy in a suit by himself?
Unclear.
That works.
So they all get on a helicopter, and then they look out the window, and they see some pteranodons flying away from the island.
Oh no, the murder birds are free? That's horrible.
No, we're gonna play it as a nice moment, and then that's it, we're done.
Oh, it's done.
Yeah, the movie's over, we're done.
Just like that.
It's over, it's just abrupt, straight ending. Get out of here, go home, everybody.
Oh, abrupt endings are tough.
So you have that new Jurassic script?
Yeah, so let's start with the title. I know you wanted to go big on this movie, so what's a big step up from a park?
I don't know, the world?
Yes, exactly.
That's your title, Jurassic World?
Yep, nope, you guessed it, that's the title. You figured it out.
So the whole world is filled with dinosaurs? That might be a little too big.
No, it's not the whole world. It's a fully operational theme park.
Oh, so the park is up and running.
Exactly. And since it is a theme park, I thought maybe that could be a natural way to incorporate some product placement if you want.
Perfect, because I already have a couple of those lined up.
Oh, like what?
Oh, just a couple like Beats by Dre, Starbucks, Converse, American Airlines, Coca-Cola, Samsung, Pandora, Margaritaville, Hilton, Triumph, Verizon Wireless, Columbia, Nissan, Nike, Oakley, IWC, Ben & Jerry's, Brookstone, IMAX, Mike & Ike, and like a crap load of Mercedes. Like if we could get a solid minute or two of Mercedes logos up on the screen, that would be awesome.
Oh, okay.
Too much?
Tell you what, I'll just have a character crack a joke about product placement.
That way people can't complain.
Exactly, so now it's like a self-aware joke.
I love it. So what's the story about?
Well, the park's been open a while, so people are bored of dinosaurs.
People are bored of dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's the angle we're going with. So one of the main characters, Money Lady.
Wait, Money Lady?
Oh yeah, a lot of these characters just have like one defining characteristic, so I didn't really bother with names.
They should have names.
Okay, Claire?
That works.
So Claire and her team develop a genetically modified dinosaur to attract new people.
Genetically modified?
Oh yeah, this thing is nuts. It has T-Rex genes.
Wow.
And raptor genes.
Scary.
And snake genes. And tree frog genes.
What?
And cuttlefish genes.
Okay, this sounds like too many genes.
No, see, having a lot of genes meant I can make the dinosaur do whatever I needed it to do for the plot.
Oh, smart. What can it do?
Well, it's able to set up distractions. It can control its body temperature to hide from thermal detection, which it knows about and understands. It can also detect thermal radiation, which it uses to hunt. It can also camouflage itself, and also it kills for sport, and it knows that there's a tracker inside of it, and it's able to remove it.
Wait, how does it know what a tracker is?
I don't know, maybe it has genes from like a tactical system specialist from the FBI or something.
What?
SEAL Team 6 genes? I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that it's a very smart, borderline magical monster.
Okay, so if this thing has all those abilities, it must be impossible for people to hide from it.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, well, it can't really see, so...
It can do all those things, but it can't see?
Exactly, so if they just kind of stay still, it has a hard time finding them.
That's very convenient.
Super convenient. It works several times.
So I'm guessing this thing gets out of its cage?
It does.
And so Claire evacuates the park?
Kind of. Eventually.
Eventually? Not right away?
No, because evacuating the park would be bad for business.
Oh, so she's the villain. She's like the bad guy of the movie.
Nope, she's one of the two leads.
And people are supposed to empathize with her?
I was thinking maybe you could cast someone really pretty so people won't notice she's a terrible person.
Oh, yeah, true. I could totally do that.
Awesome.
So how close do people get to danger before she realizes she has to do something?
Oh, a lot of people die.
They do?
Oh, well, the dinosaur kills a couple of people when it escapes right off the bat.
And she doesn't evacuate the park?
No, she sends more people after it.
And they report back to her how dangerous it is, and she calls for the evacuation.
No, they all die too.
And then she calls for the evacuation.
No, because money and business, remember?
Right. Wow. She really likes business.
Yes, very much, but animal-loving Navy guy gets mad at her.
Animal-loving Navy guy?
Oh, let's call him Owen.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a badass that lives on the island, and his whole thing is that dinosaurs are animals.
Oh, he cares about them.
A lot. He gets super sad when they die, he raises raptors himself, he feeds them. He just treats them like animals, and he really, really loves animals.
What does he feed the raptors?
Oh, animals. Pigs, rats, goats, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so he tells Claire that they have to evacuate because a bunch of people have died, and she's like, leave, get out.
Because business?
Because business, exactly. But then Claire suddenly remembers that her two nephews are on the island.
And she loves them a lot?
She spends no time with them and doesn't know how old they are.
Oh.
And the last time she even referenced them in the movie, she was getting guilted into hanging out with them by their mother.
It almost sounds like she just doesn't want to get in trouble if they die.
Kinda seems like that, yeah. So she tracks down Owen to help her.
She kicks him out for trying to save all the guests, and then she's like, come help me save two guests.
Exactly. Then a bunch of pterodactyls get out and start killing people.
Please tell me they call for an evacuation now.
Yeah, they start, but it's like way too late at this point.
Too late, so people die.
A lot of people die, yeah, the park is packed.
But I thought the whole thing was that business wasn't going so hot, like that's why they made the dinosaur.
Yeah, but I think the image of dinosaurs going on a murder spree in a crowd of 20,000 people is pretty cool.
That does sound cool.
Yeah, and Claire's assistant, this British lady named Zara, gets tossed around by pterodactyls like she was a ragdoll and shoved into the water and then eaten by a giant dinosaur shark, and it's super scary and she dies.
Jesus, what does she do to deserve that?
Nothing, I guess.
Wasn't your ex-girlfriend a British woman named Zara?
I mean, I don't see what that has to do with anything.
Okay.
Anyway, so then Claire and Owen kiss in the middle of this big attack.
What? Why?
Oh, well, they're both attractive, so they're in love now.
Right? Makes sense. So what happens next?
Well, there was this dude the whole movie that wanted to use dinosaurs in the military.
What?
I don't know.
That's a little far-fetched, isn't it?
I know, but I had a dream where a guy was on a motorcycle next to some raptors.
Ooh.
Right? And this is the only story thread I could think of to get us there.
Fair enough. Okay, go on.
So because everything's going crazy, this guy takes control and he's like, let's weaponize the raptors.
I know.
So then they do that, but it doesn't work because they imprint on the dinosaur, and then there's a big fight between raptors and the new dinosaur and the old T-Rex from the first movie, and then the bad dinosaur gets eaten by the same shark thing as my ex-girlfriend.
But what about the dinosaurs left standing?
They kind of give each other knowing nods and go their separate ways.
They don't try to kill each other?
No, they have an understanding now. Maybe dinosaurs did that. I don't know. I did no research.
Wow.
So what do you think?
It's something.
You don't like it?
I think there's a lot of wacky stuff in there.
Right.
And characters that people won't really connect with.
Okay.
But it does have two very important things.
What's that?
Hot people and dinosaur attacks.
Do you think that'll be enough to get people to buy tickets?
Well, we'll just have to try and see.
So you have a Jurassic World sequel script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So in this movie, we're gonna reveal that the island that Jurassic World was built on is an active volcano that's about to erupt.
That's hilarious.
What do you mean?
Oh, you're being serious. Okay, my bad. Keep going.
Yeah, so the volcano's gonna kill all the dinosaurs, so Congress is trying to decide if they should go save them or not.
Okay.
And Ian Malcolm is gonna give a speech to them.
Oh, Ian Malcolm. I can't wait to see him go up against dinosaurs again.
Yeah, people would love to see that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, he's the best.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, he's only gonna be in the Congress scenes.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, and he's gonna be like, well, humans shouldn't have brought dinosaurs back in the first place, so the volcano was nature's way of fixing it.
That makes a lot of sense because a bunch of people have died.
Right, and then Congress is like, yeah, let's not go save the dinosaurs.
You know, it's actually refreshing to have characters thinking rationally instead of just making stupid decisions and—
So then the protagonists are gonna go save the dinosaurs themselves.
Oh, they are. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, so remember in the first movie there was that character Money Lady?
Oh, yeah. What was her name again?
Literally no one remembers or cares.
Well, okay, then.
So yeah, now she's like an activist for the protection of dinosaur lives. So even though she was one of the characters profiting off of dinosaurs in the first movie and she saw them kill a bunch of people, she wants to save them now?
Exactly.
So in this movie, she's just a completely different character.
Yeah, just a whole new character. She will be played by the same actress though.
That's kind of unorthodox, but if you need it for the story...
I need it for the story.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, dinosaur loving ladies recruited by this guy, Eli Mills. And he works for a dude who co-founded Jurassic Park with John Hammond.
And what's Eli's deal?
He's very obviously evil.
Gotcha.
So anyway, he needs the lady's handprint for something on the island or something, so he tells her they're gonna go save the dinosaurs.
What does he actually want to do, though?
He wants to kidnap a bunch of dinosaurs and sell them off at an auction.
That's hilarious. What does he actually want to do, though?
He wants to do the auction thing.
Oh, okay. I guess because the stuff you're saying is so ridiculous, I'm like, either this guy's joking or the script is really dumb.
Well, I'm not joking.
Gotcha.
So anyway, the bad guy also wants to get his hands on Blue the Velociraptor. So dinosaur-loving lady has to go recruit animal-loving Navy guy from the first movie.
What was his name again?
I don't know.
We'll IMDb it.
And so animal-loving Navy guy is gonna be like, well, I'm not going because dinosaurs kill people and we probably shouldn't save them.
Right? That makes a lot of sense.
But then he's gonna change his mind almost immediately.
Huh.
So they're gonna go with a bunch of mercenaries and a couple of millennials to save the dinosaurs, but it's actually a double cross.
Right.
And then the volcano's gonna erupt and everyone's gonna run around like crazy.
Very exciting.
And animal-loving Navy guy is gonna have to run from a cloud of volcanic ash and whatnot.
Oh wow, so we're killing off animal-loving Navy guy?
No, he's gonna outrun it.
Well, what you're talking about is a pyroclastic flow and it could go up to 700 kilometers an hour.
Oh, so he can't actually outrun it?
No, not really. Did you do any research before writing this?
Well, I was going to, but then I didn't at all.
Right, that makes sense.
Okay, so maybe he won't outrun the cloud completely, but he'll come close.
Well, I mean, if it catches up to him, that stuff goes up to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit, so the skin would melt off his bones.
Well, I'll have him dive into the ocean.
Right, but if lava streams into the ocean, it makes the water boil and he would die that way, like a lobster.
He used to be in the Navy, though.
Oh, that's right, he used to be in the Navy. Okay, none of that stuff applies to him.
Right.
So what happens next?
Well, the characters are gonna be left for dead and the bad guys are gonna load up the dinosaurs on a boat and take off.
Wow.
And so the protagonists are gonna do a crazy stunt jump with a Jeep and get on the boat just before it leaves.
No one's gonna notice a flying Jeep landing on the boat at the last second?
They will not.
Well, okay then.
And one of the millennial characters is being forced to do surgery on Blue because Blue got shot.
Wow, I imagine it's gonna have to be a quick surgery.
How come?
Well, I assume they're taking the dinosaurs to Isla Sorna.
I don't know what that is.
It's the island from The Lost World in Jurassic Park 3. It's like right next to Isla Nublar and it's completely abandoned.
Okay, well they need to take the dinosaurs to California so they could auction them off, so
why can't they have an auction at Isla Sorna?
Well, because we have some evil cartoon characters flying into California for the auction, so the dinosaurs have to be there.
Can't these people fly to the other island?
Okay, full disclosure, I just want there to be dinosaurs in the US for the next movie.
Oh, it's a sequel thing. Okay, I'm cool with disregarding logic if it's for a sequel.
Well, great.
So what else happens?
Well, the millennial girl is doing surgery on Blue, but she needs T-Rex blood to do a transfusion.
So she asks the mercenary guys to get some?
No, she tells animal-loving Navy guy and dinosaur-loving lady to get it.
Why wouldn't she ask the captors to get it?
Because I want the main characters to have to do it.
Fair enough.
So anyway, later animal-loving Navy guy and dinosaur-loving lady are gonna get locked in a cell.
Oh, is it gonna be hard for them to get out of there?
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as it turns out, nobody's guarding them, and in the cell next to them, there's a dinosaur that can break through walls.
That is convenient.
Right?
So what else happens?
Well, we're also gonna do this thing in the movie where the characters are in a room and they either have to close a door or open a door really fast.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that like 15 times, but in slightly different ways.
Very exciting.
Also, we're gonna introduce a genetically modified dinosaur.
Didn't we do that in the last movie?
Yeah, but this one is a hybrid of the Indominus Rex and a Velociraptor.
Wasn't the Indominus already a hybrid?
It was.
Oh, hybrid.
hybrid hybrids are tight.
Yeah, and Eli Mills wants to sell this one as a weapon.
How would that work?
Well, if you point this gun-looking thing at a person, it'll send like a sonar wave and the Indoraptor will go kill that person.
If you're planning on killing somebody and you're gonna go through the trouble of pointing a gun at them, why not just shoot them?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So anyway, the Indoraptor's gonna get out of its cage and try to kill everyone.
Uh-oh.
But then Blue is gonna save the day. So are dinosaurs supposed to be like scary monsters in this movie or good guys?
They're both, whenever I want them to be.
Sounds like you're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, I love cake.
Right, cake is great, but that's not what that—
So anyway, then they're gonna be in a situation where there's some gas being released that's gonna kill the dinosaurs.
Okay.
And dinosaur-loving lady presses a bunch of buttons to let them out of their cages.
Oh boy.
And then she has to decide whether or not to press the last button that'll open up the door and set them free.
Why didn't she press that button first and let the gas out?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Anyway, then she's gonna decide not to do it.
Probably a good idea.
But then a little clone girl's gonna do it anyway.
What?
Oh yeah, there's like a little girl who's like a clone of a dead lady, and she's like, dinosaurs are alive like me, so she sets them free to kill people.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well this way dinosaurs will be out roaming the world in Jurassic World 3.
Oh, it's a sequel thing. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so at the end we're gonna imply that dinosaurs are gonna take over the world.
Wow, how many dinosaurs are there?
I don't know, maybe 40 of them from 11 different species?
And we've established that they can be taken down by bullets?
That's right.
Doesn't seem like that much of a global threat, to be honest.
Well, we're gonna play it off as a global threat.
Well, okay then. So what do you think?
Well, to be honest, it all sounds kind of ridiculous and far-fetched.
Okay.
But I feel like if we show the entire story in the trailers, people will be like, there's no way that's the actual story, right?
Oh, so then they'll go see it to find out?
Exactly.
Would that work?
Only one way to find out.
So, you have a new Jurassic World movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing. I can't wait to see what's going on with, I don't know the characters' names.
Nobody does, sir, but according to Wikipedia,
their names are Owen Grady and Claire Deering.
Oh, well, fantastic. So what happens in the movie?
Well, it's been 4 years since about 50 dinosaurs escaped at the end of the last movie, so now they're all over the world.
How did that happen?
Look, do you want to see dinosaurs out in the real world or not?
I mean, yeah, of course. That's like the main thing I want to see.
So stop asking so many questions.
I asked one question.
Well, cut it out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I forgive you, sir. So now the dinosaurs are all over the world, things aren't going too well.
Wow, well, I can't wait to explore what the world is like under those conditions.
Oh, and explore that we will, sir.
Oh boy.
And a quick Now This News segment at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, that's it?
Well, mostly, yeah, because then we gotta get into the storylines the fans have really been asking for.
Which are?
A kidnapping plot and a bug problem.
Oh, I didn't know that's what—
Yeah, that's what the Jurassic fans have been clamoring for, sir. Bug swarms and farming issues and the kidnapping of an angsty teen.
I guess that is the natural progression from a dinosaur park movie.
Yeah, so Owen and Claire, who both have names, and that's what they are, they've been hiding that Maisie girl from the last movie.
That makes sense. I mean, she's the one who let all the dinosaurs loose and caused the deaths of a bunch of people.
Oh, no, nobody really seems to care that she did that.
Oh, but she's directly responsible for the chaos.
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's actually this company, Biosyn, that's after her, because they want to study her blood.
What's their deal? What are they up to?
Well, this company's actually run by Dodgson, remember, from the first movie?
He was briefly in the original movie, ever so briefly.
He sure was, sir. Amazing. So what's his deal now?
Well, now that many years have passed, he's transformed into Apple CEO Tim Cook.
What?
And Tim Cook wants to control the world's food supply, so he created these giant locusts that destroy all crops except Biosyn crops.
Very evil.
Yeah, so Biosyn kidnaps Maisie and Beta, this baby that Blue the raptor had, so Owen and Claire are gonna have to deal with that.
Okay.
And meanwhile, Ellie Sattler and Alan Grant and Ian Malcolm, they're gonna deal with the bug problem.
They're from the original movie.
That's right, sir. We're bringing back original beloved characters many years later. Is there any other way to make money these days?
I know, right?
No, seriously, is there? Because we're rapidly running out of iconic characters to bring back. Please help.
Oh, yeah, no, I got nothing.
Dang, okay, we'll figure it out eventually.
God, I hope so, sir. So Owen and Claire track Maisie and Beta down to this black market dino thing in Malta.
Okay.
But there's this evil lady Santos who can make raptors attack people by pointing a laser.
Uh-oh.
So just as she's getting arrested, she points a laser at the good guys.
Oh, man. Well, I bet we haven't seen the last of her.
No, we have.
Oh, okay. So then Claire's gonna have to outrun a velociraptor on foot.
How is that possible? They're incredibly fast.
Well, she's got a little trick up her sleeve where she's one of the main characters so she can do it.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so then this pilot, Kayla, helps them escape, and they head over to Biosyn headquarters in the Dolomites, which is also a dinosaur valley.
Oh, that's the most exciting type of valley.
Sure is, sir.
So
meanwhile, we're gonna meet up with Ian Malcolm, who's working at Biosyn.
Okay.
And he's brought Ellie and Alan over to help him uncover Tim Cook's sketchy plans by getting a sample of one of these giant locusts, because, you know, they're both respected individuals.
Yeah, they gotta stop Tim Cook from making bugs, for sure.
And there's also this guy Ramsey there, and at the end of the movie, we're gonna find out he also wants to expose Tim Cook.
If Ian and Ramsey were already working at Biosyn, why didn't they get the evidence and bring it to Ellie and Alan?
So the original cast can reunite and we can do the thing that every blockbuster has done for the past 7 years.
That makes sense.
So anyway, while they're sneaking around the Biosyn labs, the plane is gonna get attacked by some flying dinos.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and there's only one parachute eject thing working, so Owen's like, well, Claire, we're gonna launch you into the dino-infested jungle because you got the best chance of finding Maisie.
Isn't he an ex-Navy dinosaur trainer?
Yeah, why?
Never mind.
So then Owen and Kayla's plane crashes.
Oh my god, so they die?
What? No, they're fine.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, it's just a plane crash, sir. This is an action movie. That's how planes get to the ground.
Right, fair enough.
And then this really cool looking dinosaur's gonna attack them and Owen's gonna fall through some ice.
Oh my god, hypothermia.
Sir, if a big plane crash didn't hurt him, do you think some cold water's gonna do anything at all?
That's a good point.
So anyway, eventually we find out that Dr. Henry Wu is the one who engineered the locusts for Tim Cook, but he feels bad about it now.
As he should. I mean, that guy made the dinosaurs too. He's caused tons of death.
Yeah, but he feels bad about it now, so he's pretty much a good guy.
Oh yeah, no, okay, I see that. I like this guy now. He's a good guy now.
And also, we find out that Maisie's not actually a clone.
Oh, she's not?
No, turns out her mom was actually a scientist who gave birth to a version of herself with changed DNA that didn't have the genetic disease that she had.
Oh, giving birth to yourself is tight.
What?
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 So anyway, Wu needs to study her blood so he can stop the locusts and save the world.
The locusts he made?
He's a good guy.
He is, yeah.
So eventually, Tim Cook's gonna find out that he's gonna be exposed and he burns all the locusts, but they escape and cause a forest fire.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. And Owen's gonna choke a dinosaur.
He's gonna choke a dinosaur?
Well, sir, earlier in the movie, he's gonna stop an 8,000-pound dinosaur in a full sprint using his hands, some rope, and a tree stump. So I think he can choke a dinosaur.
That's unbelievable.
I know, right?
No, I mean, I don't believe that could happen without his arms snapping off.
Well, it's gonna, and then Tim Cook is gonna die, and a gigantosaurus is gonna terrorize the group.
Uh-oh, gonna be hard for them to survive a gigantosaurus encounter.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, all the good guys do the hand thing, and then a T-Rex pops out and saves the day.
Wait, the hand thing?
Yeah, you know the thing where Owen puts his hand out, and then all the dinosaurs are like, whoa!
Right.
It's like a Jedi Force move, you know, the hand thing.
Wasn't that like a thing that just barely worked on the raptors he trained for years?
Hey, shut up. So then the T-Rex shows up, and he does a little branding detour.
Nice.
And he's gonna team up with his friend Wolverine Dinosaur and kill the Gigantosaurus, so it's gonna be a nice triumphant moment.
Oh, hell yeah. That'll teach that dinosaur to be a dinosaur?
Yeah, got him, sir.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
Yeah, and so then iconic good guy character Dr. Henry Wu engineers a thing to stop the locusts.
Does he see any repercussions for all the terrible stuff he's done?
He does not. So then at the very end of the movie, dinosaurs and humans and animals have kind of learned to coexist, and you know what? It's pretty nice.
Wait, how did the events of the movie lead to that happening?
Oh no, that part worked itself out in the background.
Oh, well, great.
It worked out fantastic. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like money.
Yeah, you think critics will like it?
But no, I didn't say that.
So, you have a new Jurassic movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, thank God. It's about time we give this franchise a soft reboot. It's been years since the last movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, two.
That's more than one, and therefore my pluralization was warranted. It's time for some milking.
And milk it we shall, sir.
So get this, in this one, it turns out there was another dino island.
Oh my god, how many islands do these dino folks have going?
As many as we want.
Beautiful. So what was going on this one?
Well, there was a frickin' secret lab where they were working on mutant dinosaurs.
Why were they doing that?
So we could have some new toys to sell.
Ah, that's exactly the kind of research I love.
And this one frickin' lab guy drops a Snickers wrapper which gets sucked into a door vent, and you can imagine what that does.
Kind of jams that one door.
Destroys the entire containment system and sets all the dinos free, that's right.
What? Why would that be the mechanism's reaction to something going in a vent?
I don't know.
Was this place built by the same people that built the Death Star?
Sure, I don't care. Anyway, fast forward 17 years.
What?
Now it's 2027.
In the movie.
Correct.
Okay, because in the real world, I intend to have made three more of these by that year.
Right, so now in the movie, we're after the events of the last Jurassic World movie, and dinos have been, like, living amongst humans.
Oh, we are, alright.
But turns out dinosaurs can't really survive with us, so they either died or went down to the equator.
Got it.
And the dinosaurs that are still around, people don't care about them anymore.
Why not?
Because the novelty's worn off and there's too much going on in the world.
We're going with the bored of dinosaurs thing again?
People famously get tired of looking at wild creatures after the novelty wears off, sir. That's why there was only ever one zoo and it did not catch on.
It's not accurate.
So we're gonna meet this rich pharma guy, Krebs, and he wants to go to that secret island and get some DNA samples because he could use, like, dino blood to make heart disease cures or something.
Okay.
So he hires this operative lady, Zora, to bring him there, and this is all super secret and illegal what they're doing.
So she's gonna help Mr. Krebs with his secret formula?
Exactly.
Is Plankton gonna try to steal it?
Hey! Respect that, please.
What? Did you install that sign? This is my office.
So they also hire this paleontologist, Dr. Loomis, and they head down to the equator and meet up with an old friend of Zora's, Kincaid.
Wait, where's the dinosaur food?
And Kincaid's team is gonna be there too.
Oh, there it is.
So then we're gonna find out about Zora and Kincaid's sad backstories. They've got, like, dead kids and dead partners and divorces and stuff.
How are we gonna find all that out?
Well, as you know, the classic rule of screenwriting is show, don't tell.
Sure.
So I was thinking we just show them telling each other.
Oh, smart!
Anyway, so now what they have to do is get three blood samples, one from Big Water Dino, one from Big Air Dino, and one from Big Land Dino.
Very exciting!
So on the boat on the way to the island, they stop and rescue this family that got attacked on their boat by Big Water Dino.
Why was the family out on a boat in dino water?
So that they can be in the movie now.
Got it. So they're gonna bring this family along with them to the super secret and super illegal mission.
Exactly. But then they all get attacked by water dinos and end up shipwrecked on the island.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and that family, they get split up from the team, so we're gonna cut back and forth between those stories.
Well, feels a little disconnected.
Feels like you could take out the family and it wouldn't really affect anything at all.
Absolutely.
But now we're giving people two almost completely separate movies for the price of one.
Oh, that's a good deal.
It is. So it turns out, as a plan B, Zora hired a helicopter to circle the island in 24 hours, so they gotta get to this checkpoint.
Okay.
And along the way, Dr. Loomis gets to touch a nice dinosaur, so obviously he's pretty emotional about that.
Oh, has he not seen a real dinosaur before?
No, he has, pretty much every day.
Oh, but this one's standing in a field.
Oh, that is slightly different. And meanwhile, in that separate family movie, the little girl's gonna become friends with a tiny dinosaur and name it Dolores.
Aw, baby dino? That sounds super marketable.
It is, but later they're also gonna encounter a T-Rex.
That's the dinosaur from the logo.
Yeah, and the older daughter of this family, she's gonna inflate a raft right in the face of the sleeping T-Rex, so they gotta outrun it.
Oh, did she not know it was there when she inflated a raft in its face?
No, she did.
Oh, interesting decision.
So they rush down the river, but then the little girl gets picked up with the raft by the T-Rex.
Oh, no.
But she manages to get away, and they all manage to get away on the raft and paddle away.
Did the T-Rex teeth not pierce the raft?
Not even a little.
Soft tooth dinos are tight.
So eventually everybody ends up at the extraction point, but the frickin' lights turn on and that attracts some mutant raptors.
Ooh.
And some of the people are gonna hide inside this gas station and we're gonna do kind of like that kitchen scene from the original, but much more intense.
Intense how?
There are gonna be so many more product placements.
Oh, I like that. You've somehow improved upon a classic scene.
And then the frickin' evil rich guy tries to steal the samples and get away on a helicopter, but the helicopter gets eaten, and then after he does too.
Eaten by what?
The big final boss. It's called the D-Rex, and it's super scary.
What does it look like?
Like if a T-Rex sprouted some useful arms and got bonked on the head real hard.
Oh, very scary.
And this thing's attracted to light, but the boat they're trying to get away on now, it's generating light.
Oh man, gonna be tough to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Kincaid grabs a flare and lures it away into the jungle.
Flare distractions do happen in these movies. Nothing like a good flare distraction.
Yeah, so he freaking sacrifices himself.
Oh, he dies.
Well, actually, no. We're gonna think that he dies, but he somehow survives, so they turn around and pick him up with the boat.
How do they know he survived?
He lights a flare to get their attention.
And that suddenly no longer attracts the D-Rex.
No, because the movie's pretty much done now.
Well, fantastic.
And that little girl, turns out she brought Dolores with her, so that's very cute.
I thought you said the dinosaurs couldn't really survive alongside humans.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, I guess Dolores is gonna die, but we're not gonna show that.
Yeah, let's not show that.
So the good guys ride off on this boat, and they intend to share the samples with the whole world.
Aren't they still in the dino-infested waters they had to abandon ship for earlier?
Hey, shut up, so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, we've got dinosaurs, we've got the Jurassic brand, let's slap a new Marvel actor on this thing and call it a soft reboot.
Money!
Money, money, easy money!
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.